All right. Well, last week, if you were here or you caught the recording, Brother Jesse spoke, and his title was Leaving 2020 Behind. Amen. And yeah, I got to thinking, I don't know if y'all remember, but about a year ago, as we came into 2020, there were people everywhere, sermons being preached across the country. I did not preach one of them. I'm really glad to say now, looking back. But you know, 2020, and in January, it was just almost too good an opportunity to pass up. You know, 2020 vision, the vision for 2020. Everybody had something, vision 2020. Amen. Really, everybody was excited. 2020. Yeah, and then a few weeks later, boom, 2020 kind of imploded. It fell apart. All right, but it's been a difficult year. Amen. Been a very difficult year. And certainly I think the biggest issue has been the people that have been sick. I mean, we all know now people who have been sick from the coronavirus. We probably all may know not just people in the news, but we may know individuals who have died from coronavirus. It's been a serious thing. It's been a tough time. There's, you know, all the sickness, all the death, the runs on the hospitals, all the uncertainty, all the unknown. Then we had the restrictions. We had the lockdowns. It was not quite a year ago. We did the unbelievable, and we saw churches stop meeting together in person for several weeks. During that time, you know, we kind of just skipped over Easter, it seemed. Just hard to believe. It's impacted the church in a lot of ways. Not only we kind of skip over Easter, it's curtailed a lot of our activities. We didn't do a kids revival this year. We haven't been doing, our fellowships. We've had to scale back. Again, I think those were wise things to do. Amen. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have done that. I think it was wise to do that. And I think for the next several months, we have to continue to be wise. But I am extremely hopeful we're going to see this come to an end, and that by the time we get to 2022, we're going to be in a good place. Amen. So we will continue here at church to be wise, to do the things that make the most sense. But it's been tough. It's been a tough year. I think 2020, definitely one of the toughest years that we have seen. But as Jesse said, it's enough about looking back. We need to be looking forward. Amen. What was that scripture you read about? Paul said he put behind me the things in the past, and you know, I look to the future. I know I'm terribly mangling that verse, but that's the gist of what Paul said. He said, I'm not going to spend my time worrying about what's behind me. Amen. But I'm looking forward and I'm pressing forward. And I believe that's where we need to be right now. 2020 was bad. Okay. But we closed the books on it. We're into 2021. I believe it's going to be better. Is it going to be perfect? Probably not. I believe maybe things will be better as we go into 2022. Let's be looking forward. Amen. This morning, I want to go to the book of Nehemiah. One of my favorite stories, Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the wall. Nehemiah chapter 1, if you're following along, I'm going to start in verse 2. Nehemiah said that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who were returned from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. I see a whole lot of things, I think, that relate to us today as I read through this passage of Scripture. But one of the first things I know that really jumped out at me, Nehemiah wanted the facts. Amen? He didn't want it sugar-coated. He didn't want the sanitized version. He wanted to know, really, how bad is it? And I think, you know, as Christians sometimes, we need to ask ourselves, how bad is it? What are the facts? What's the truth? Because it can become very easy for us to simply just decide to be unaware, to not know what's really going on, to not care, kind of stick our head in the ground and ignore it and think, hey, if we don't pay attention, it's not really there. That wasn't Nehemiah's approach. Nehemiah said, I want to know how bad is it. I want to know the situation. I want to know what is going on. And you know, the interesting thing here that I think we forget sometimes, at this point, Nehemiah had never been to Jerusalem. He had grown up in captivity. He had heard the stories. He had never been there, but yet he wanted to know the facts. He wanted to know the truth. And the answer was great trouble and disgrace. I think that describes America today. Amen? Especially, I know, as we talked about a minute ago, watching the events of the last several days, I have to say a major disgrace upon America. Amen? All the division, all the riots, and in fact, for months, all the things that have gone on. And I will tell you, around our nation today, there are literally large sections of cities that are in rubble and have been destroyed by fire. And isn't that exactly what it said about the wall of Jerusalem? It said the wall has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. I believe that America has suffered greatly this year. When we see blocks and blocks that have been destroyed by rioting that are now laying in rubble. And in Nehemiah, he was upset. He just couldn't believe that people accepted that as normal. He couldn't believe that people weren't upset. People had adopted the attitude, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. I want to tell you, as Christians today, we can't adopt that attitude. Well, that's just the way it is, because unacceptable is unacceptable. Amen? Ruin and despair is not normal. Nehemiah said, I want to do something about it. Amen? That's what we need, I think, in the church today. We need some men and women. Maybe we need some young people, if y'all are paying attention this morning. Amen? To stand up and say, I want to do something. It's not good enough to sit back and look at it. It's not good enough to just assess the situation. Somebody needs to do something. Maybe I'm the one who can make a difference. I believe that we have a choice. I believe that we can sit around in the midst of the rubble and we can play church, or we can start rebuilding. Amen? It's our choice. Nehemiah said, I'm tired of watching people sit around in the middle of the rubble and pretending that everything's okay. He said, let's go out, let's do something. And I like what Nehemiah did. He said, let's rebuild the wall. So this morning I want to talk about rebuilding the walls of the church. I believe there are some things we need to rebuild in the church today. Number one, we need to rebuild the wall of prayer. Nehemiah 1:4, what's the very first thing he did upon hearing the news? He said, I mourned and I fasted and what? Come on, I did what? I prayed. Amen? I prayed to the God in heaven. I believe that going forward, the church needs to start with prayer. Amen? The walls of Jerusalem were essential. The walls were there for safety. They were there for strength. And the walls were what were going to provide peace. If we want to see peace and safety within the church, we have to come back and we have to rebuild those walls, and we have to start with the wall of prayer. Nehemiah was crushed. His spirit was heavy because of the demolished walls. But I believe the real reason that he sat there and he wept upon hearing the news about the destroyed walls was it was because of the attitude of the people. So what did he do? He prayed. Why? Because the people were complacent. And that's my word for this morning. Complacency. Amen? Complacency. The people were complacent. And I will tell you, the church in America is becoming complacent. If we're going to be looking forward, if we're going to be looking to the future, we need to eliminate that word from the vocabulary of the church. The church has become a social club. Amen? I know there are so many people, they go to church not to hear the word of God, but they go to church because that's where they hang out with their friends. They don't pick a church because it preaches and teaches the truth. They pick a church because they want to go hang out where the social activity is. Amen? They go to see and they go to be seen. They don't go to church for the right reasons. A lot of people go to church for Sunday morning entertainment. A lot of churches now, they've become just putting on a show. Everything's careful. And again, I think it would be awesome to have the resources and the ability, amen, to do some big things up on a stage, amen? But if that's all you're doing, there's a problem. Amen? If the only reason people are coming is for the rock concert, if the only reason they're coming is the entertainment value of what's happening, there is something wrong. That is not the way to build up the church. The church is not there for entertainment. The church is not there for social gatherings. The church is supposed to be the army of God. Somebody say amen to that this morning. Amen. The army of God. And the army of God can't be effective if all you do is go hang out with your buddies and watch a rock show up on stage. Amen. The army of God gets out and goes into battle. People are dying and going to hell because they don't know Christ, and we're looking to be entertained. The church is complacent. Don't care about what's happening. Sitting around in the middle of the ruins and the rubble and saying, well, everything's okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. Church has become complacent. What does the church do? Church is way too busy gossiping, fighting within, arguing with each other, and looking for a sermon that won't challenge them. Amen? Oh, don't preach anything that might be difficult. Don't preach something that might be too hard. Preach something that makes me feel good. Oh, if you're going to preach, you're going to start preaching that difficult stuff, I'm just going to go some other church somewhere else. And it's pretty sad that they don't have to go very far nowadays to find a church that's going to preach something that sounds good. Amen? I think it's getting harder to find a church that's going to preach the church, the truth, that will step on your toes, that will challenge you, amen, that'll call you out. But that's what we need to hear. We need to be challenged by the Word of God. But the church is complacent. And I tell you, complacency, it's easy to fall into complacency, amen. And I know, I'm just talking to Jess this morning. If you look around, over here, look at the wall over here where the water came in and everything. Now, it's been like this for a while, amen? You know, at first it kind of bugged me every time I walked in the room. You know, now when I walk in the room, I don't even see it. Only reason I thought about it really this morning was because I'm talking about being complacent, amen? It's easy to get complacent. Now, I guarantee you, somebody comes in the church for the first time, probably be the first thing they notice. Now, I will tell you, having a piece of damaged drywall is going to stop them from receiving what God has in store for them, there's something wrong with them. Amen? But on the other hand, I want to say, if we just decide to let the house of God, to let this building decay and fall down into rubble around our feet, there's something wrong with us. Amen? And it's not in any danger of falling down, okay? It's just a little bit of damage. But I will tell you, we are going to get it fixed. Amen? Jesse's been taught, the biggest problem, finding somebody who wants to work. Again, people are complacent, amen? Want to work where they need work. Well, I got enough money for right now, I don't want to work. We're not going to be complacent. We're going to do some repairs this year, amen? Lord willing. We're going to do some repairs, make some things look a little bit nicer. We're going to show some pride in the house of God, amen? But more than that, we are going to preach the truth. Amen. I want to do my best to preach the Word of God. I believe Brother Jesse is going to do the best that he has within him to preach the truth of the Word of God. And if it comes across and it challenges you a little bit, it just means he's doing the right thing. Amen. If you sit here week after week and you're not challenged, the problem is probably the person standing here. Amen. Complacency. We have to begin with the wall of prayer if we're going to rebuild the church. Number two, we need to rebuild the wall of participation. Nehemiah, skipping to chapter 8, verse 1, and I'm just going to read a little section. Nehemiah said, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square. Amen? All the people came together. They said, we're not going to sit back anymore. Once Nehemiah came in and he began to point out the problem, the people said, okay, we agree. It's the time for complacency is gone. The time for sitting around and doing nothing is gone. It is time for action. And the people assembled with a unified purpose. Amen? We need to come together in unity, working together. If God's work is going to get done, it's only going to get done in unity. Pulling together. What does that mean? It means sometimes we put our differences aside. Amen? Yeah, some of you may disagree with me. It's okay. Amen? It's okay. We don't have to agree on everything. A lot of time, it really just comes down to preferences. Amen? People just want their way. You don't do this, I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. Oh, you painted the walls wrong. You want to paint, you know, you do repairs and you paint the church. You always got to worry. Somebody's going to be offended that you painted it the wrong color. Amen? Oh, we'd be better off not replacing the carpet because we might put the wrong color. Might offend somebody. Amen? You think I'm joking? Brother Phil, I know you know I'm not. I bet Leanne, you know I'm not joking. You've probably seen people leave a church over the color of the carpet. I know I have. Amen? Who cares in the end? Who cares if it's a bare concrete floor? Amen? That doesn't matter. Those are personal preferences. Quit trying to have your way and let's work together. But man, there are way too many people. They are convinced they have the spiritual gift of criticism. Yeah, everybody knows somebody like that. Yeah. I want to tell you, there is no spiritual gift of criticism. Amen? It comes from the devil. God doesn't work that way. We get back on page with God. We put our personal preferences aside. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul said, I appeal to you to live in harmony with each other and let there be no divisions in the church. Amen. That ought to be a good scripture to hang up on the wall for 2021. Amen. Let there be no divisions in the church. And I'm not talking about just at Light on a Hill Church. I'm talking about within the body of Christ. Amen. Things are getting critical. It's time for us to stop playing these games and to realize that if we're on God's team, we're all together. Amen? There needs to be unity within the body of Christ. I think that's what Paul's talking about here. No divisions in the church. Put our personal preferences aside. Why? Because I will tell you, Satan's most powerful tool to make the church ineffective is division. Division. Why is it that there are so many church splits? Why is it so many people are constantly jumping up and leaving one church to go to another? Because that's Satan's power to make them ineffective. Find a church. Amen. Put down some roots. Amen. Can't ever have any roots if you transplant every other week. Praise God. Yeah, somebody, I can't imagine somebody plant their tomato plant and then pull it up and replant it every other day and then wonder why it doesn't produce any fruit. And yet, what do we see Christians? Christians constantly uprunning here, uprunning there, never have an opportunity to put down roots. No wonder they can never produce any fruit. Amen? We need to remember we all have a part to take. Amen? We have a part. Well, I can't do very much. You may not know how much you can do. You may not know what God can do through you because it's not through our power. Amen? I love the scripture, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen? Doesn't matter how much power you have. Are you willing? Are you willing to be used by God? We all have a part. We all need to work together. I know we live in a busy world. A lot of people say, well, I just don't have the time. I don't have the time. I'm going to tell you, you don't have the time to not be working for God. Amen. Because time is running out. Time is running out. Lord is returning. Amen. Is he going to come back this year? I don't know. 2021 might be the year that Jesus comes back. Might be 2121. I don't know. I don't know when he's coming back. But I know the signs show that we're getting closer. I know each and every day we're one day closer to the return of the Lord. And I know we are running out of time to preach the gospel. Amen? We need to be working together. You don't have time to not be involved. All right, number three. We need to rebuild the wall of proclamation. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 says, they ask Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses. And then jumping to verse 3, from early morning to noon, he read aloud to everyone who could understand, and all the people listened closely to the book of the law. We need to be proclaiming the word of God. Somebody say amen to that this morning. We have got to proclaim the word of God. And to proclaim the word of God, we got to have the word of God in us. Amen. I love this picture that Nehemiah paints here. He said, they begged Ezra, please bring out the book of the law of Moses. Pull out the book of Leviticus and read us some scripture. Amen. When's the last time you heard that one? Amen. Yeah, I don't know about you, Brother Phil, sometimes the book of Leviticus, I just find it hard. Amen? I find it hard to make my way. And then all of a sudden I find a golden nugget in there. Amen? But the people, they said, bring out the law of Moses. Bring out the law. We want to hear it. We are hungry. And it says from early morning until noon. The people wanted to hear. They were hungry for the word. They were paying attention to the word of God. And I will tell you, my calculations show that it probably means they spent about 6 hours listening to Ezra, the priest, read the book of the law. Amen? Can you imagine spending 6 hours listening to me read from the book of Leviticus this morning? Oh, and they all stood the whole time, too. Praise God. They wanted to hear it. And man, you thought my sermons were long. Amen? I have yet to preach a 6-hour sermon. I doubt many of you would be here if I preached a 6-hour sermon at the end. But you know what? When God calls for a 6-hour sermon, we'll preach a 6-hour sermon. Amen? I tell you, most people in church, complacency. They can barely make it through a 20-minute sermon and stay awake. I mean, there are a lot of people, a 20-minute sermon, they got to have a nap halfway through. Why? They aren't hungry. Either they aren't hungry for the Word of God, or they are going to a church that's not preaching the Word of God. Amen? Because if we are hungry for the Word of God, and somebody is preaching and teaching the Word of God, then we're going to be attentive. We're going to be paying attention. But people in church are not hungry for the Word today. They are complacent. They take the word of God for granted. I mean, think back again in Jerusalem when Ezra was reading the word had been lost. Amen. We can't imagine what that means. Why? Because if you're like me, I've lost count of how many actual Bibles I physically own. Amen. I mean, you can't turn around and not find a Bible sometimes in our house. That's not a bad thing either. Amen. And I have different translations. I have one in Spanish. I don't have one in French yet. Maybe I need to acquire one of those. I have a Spanish Bible. It has English on one side, Spanish on the other. Man, I don't read Spanish, but I have the Word of God in Spanish. Praise God. I have study Bibles. I have Bibles with notes. I have Bibles with maps. I have Bibles in all kinds of different translations. I have parallel Bibles with translations side by side. I have multiple Bibles on my telephone. I don't even know how many different translations downloaded on my computer that I use for sermon preparation. Amen? We have Bibles everywhere we turn, and therefore I think sometimes we take the Word of God for granted. We don't realize what it's like. I tell you, there are people in China today, if I could rip out one page and hand it to them, they would be so excited. They would take that one page and they would read it, and they would read it, and they would memorize it. They would read it over and over and over to the point when they could repeat it. And then they would pass it on to someone else. And we don't care. We don't care. We're complacent. When's the last time you had that dedication toward the Word of God? In America, we're complacent. I got Bibles everywhere. Go to Walmart and buy 3 more. Download 5 different more translations to my phone. I got Bibles everywhere. But we don't have a hunger for the Word of God. It's not enough to have a Bible. We need to be hungry for the Word. Romans 10:14. Very well-known scripture. I'm sure you all know it. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? Amen. We are called to proclaim the Word of God. How are they going to hear unless you tell them? We're watching a movie. And in this movie, of course, they were kind of making fun of Christians a little bit. And there were these two women, and one woman, she asked the other one, she says, "Can I ask you a personal question?" She said, "Have you found Jesus?" And, you know, the other woman, you know, her reaction was to be a little bit indignant. And she doesn't say anything for a minute, and then she comes back and she says, "I didn't know he was lost. Didn't know he was missing." And I tell you, we can, it's a funny joke, amen? It's kind of a funny joke. Unfortunately, as I thought about it, I thought, wait, there is way too much truth in there. There are so many people that don't know that they need to find Jesus. Amen. They don't know Jesus is missing. They don't know that Jesus is missing in their life. How are they going to go out and look for something they don't even know is missing? And how are they going to know that something's missing unless they hear the Word of God? And how are they going to hear the Word of God unless you speak the Word of God to them? It's not the preacher's job, amen? It's part of the preacher's job just because they're a Christian, amen? But it's the job of every Christian to go out and proclaim the Word of God. I always say I don't like that term preacher anyway, because we're all called to be preachers. Amen? Every Christian is a preacher. Not every Christian is a pastor. And we use pastor and preacher interchangeably so much. We are all called to be preachers. Amen? To proclaim. That means one who proclaims the Word of God. How will they hear? How will they know that Jesus is missing unless they hear it from us? We need to be hearing, we need to be hungry, we need to be taking in the Word of God, and then we need to be proclaiming it to those around us. All right, number four, we need to rebuild the wall of praise. Nehemiah 8:6. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands, and they bowed down, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Again, what an awesome picture Nehemiah paints here. Don't you just wish that you could go back in time and stand there? Don't you wish that you could go and stand there and listen to them read from the book of the law for 6 hours and feel the excitement of the people as they are hearing the Word of God and as they are hungering for the Word of God? And then as they spontaneously break out into praise, shouting amen, and as they fall on their faces, amen, 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 holy, holy, holy is our Lord, amen. They were moved by what they heard. They didn't just listen, but they were moved by what they heard. Again, I will tell you, we are complacent in the church in America. So many people, they come in and they want to hear a nice, neat, clean, compact. And I have nothing against a nice, neat, clean, compact sermon. Amen. Sometimes mine need to be more clean and more compact. Amen. But the goal isn't just to listen to a good talk. I had somebody tell me one time that was a good talk. That's not my goal, is to do a good talk. Amen? They meant well, but something didn't connect. Because the question should be, what is the Word of God motivating us? What's our response? How do we respond to the Word of God? How do we respond? And I'll tell you, in America, we just want to hear a good talk. And our response is pat the pastor on the back and say, it was a good talk. I'll come back next week. No, these people, it said they chanted. Amen. I love that. They chanted. They didn't just, it wasn't just an amen here or there. They chanted, amen, amen, amen. And there was no a women. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all heard, I'm sure y'all heard about that. The stupidity. Did you hear about that? Oh man, you've been living under a rock. They opened the house, the U.S. government house in prayer. And this, I don't remember who it was, the guy that opened it, when he got to the end, he said, amen and a women. Yet total ignorance. Ignorance. This is where things are coming in America. Amen? Yeah, and I tell you what, you will never hear an a women from me. It's amen, and it has nothing to do with male or female. Praise God. Amen means so be it. Amen. Amen. So be it. I'm all for women. But to make a mockery of the Bible, to make a mockery of God in our government. No wonder we shouldn't be surprised when we see a group. And again, I have nothing good to say about people who crashed into the Capitol. Amen. I have nothing good to say. They should not do it. I'm all for finding out everybody they can who did that. I'm all for prosecuting them to the full extent of the law. That is unacceptable. But why are we surprised when we got such foolishness going on? Why should we expect people to respect an institution that can't even respect itself and respect God? Complacency. We need to be like the people of Jerusalem. They started rebuilding the wall of praise. I want to tell you, it's okay to be passionate in worship. Amen? Pick on Amber for me. Amber, you are passionate in worship. Isn't that awesome? I appreciate that so much. We should be passionate. We're just up here going through the motions. There's something wrong. We need to be passionate. It's okay to be passionate in church. It's okay to be excited in church. It's okay to say amen in church. It's not okay to say amen, but it's okay to say amen. It's okay to shout in church. It's okay to chant amen in church. It's okay to stand up. It's okay to lift up your hands. It's okay to praise God. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to get emotional. It's okay to get choked up. You know, Amber, I know sometimes you do. You get emotional. That's okay. But it's okay. Don't ever let anybody put you down for that. Amen? That's awesome. It's awesome. I know, Jesse, I know last week when you were reading from that Bible, you got choked up. When you're reading a letter that with the Bible, that's okay to get choked up like that, okay? On the other hand, it's okay if you don't get choked up, as long as you're praising God. Maybe you praise God differently. Maybe you laugh. It's okay to laugh if you're laughing in the Spirit, amen? It's okay to praise God. It's okay to worship. All right, finally, number 5, rebuild the wall of purity. Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. The people assembled again, and this time they fasted and dressed in burlap and sprinkled dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent separated themselves from the foreigners, and they confessed their own sins and the sins of their ancestors. They remained standing in place for 3 hours while the book of the law of the Lord their God was read aloud to them. Then for 3 more hours, they confessed their sins and they worshiped the Lord their God. Praise God. Something changed. Amen. There was some conviction there. No wonder revival broke out in Jerusalem. No wonder the walls got rebuilt. But no wonder the church in America has become ineffective. I tell you, what's acceptable in the world has now become acceptable in the church. It is so hard sometimes to figure out if somebody's living in the world or living in the church because you can't tell any difference. They don't stand out. I'm not talking about standing out to be weird. Amen? I'm not talking about, and again, I have no problem to people that want to dress a certain way or wear their hair a certain way, amen? Not picking on them at all. In fact, I encourage them. They feel that's what God's called them to do. I think they should do that. Praise God. Far from me to tell them, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about our style of dress or our hairstyle. I'm talking about how we live our lives, amen? I'm talking about how we live our lives. I'm talking about churches where you can't talk about sin because you're going to upset somebody because there are too many people living in sin. I'm talking about churches where you can't say a man and a woman should not live together as husband and wife if they're not married. Amen? Because you might lose half your congregation. No, people need to hear the truth even if it upsets them. Amen. How are they going to know if they don't hear? Now, I'm not talking about beating anybody up. Praise God. No, I think we can teach and preach the truth with love. And again, if we do it with love, they're going to know there is love there. They will know it. If they don't know it, you're probably doing it wrong. But we need to be speaking the truth because it is unacceptable in the eyes of God for the church to be living the same way as the world. We need to be living by God's laws. I struggle to understand some of the young people today. And I know somebody told me this, and I could not ever wrap my head around it. But he's talking about, you know, a couple of young guys saying, hey, let's go down to the bar, share a beer together, and talk about Jesus. Now, I don't know. I mean, I can't really wrap my head around that one. Amen? Not to bring condemnation on anybody, but I'm saying just seems there's something a little bit wrong there. When you can't tell the difference. Can't tell the difference. Might as well go out and just live like the world, do what the world's doing. Something wrong. The people, they repented of their sins. Church in America is complacent. Well, my sins aren't as bad as what everybody else is doing. I'm better than most. Not good enough. Amen? And we all know that my sins aren't as bad as your sins. Right? My sins are okay. Your sins, not so much. Yeah, don't talk about what I'm doing. Let's talk about what you're doing. Live your life. Just live your life. God loves you anyway. God loves you. Just live your life. Don't worry about trying to live a holy life. What's wrong with that kind of teaching? Complacency. Basically, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to live. I don't want to live a godly life. If you're a Christian, why don't you want to live a godly life? Oh, but it's going to take some effort. It's going to cost something. Absolutely. Amen. If it's not costing something, then it's probably not worth much value. Amen. Biblical principle, a sacrifice isn't a sacrifice unless it costs. Yeah, there's a price to be paid. Too many churches today do not preach sin and repentance. Jesse and I were talking about this morning. Just, it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Big, major churches. Thousands and thousands of people. And that church leader standing up and basically saying, nobody goes to hell because God loves everybody. Something wrong with that. My Bible doesn't say that at all. But people flock to it. Well, guess what? If you're a sinner and you don't want to repent from your sin, where are you going to go? Going to go to somebody who's telling you, well, you're okay. You're okay. Just try your best. Just do your best and you're probably good. God loves you anyway. Listen to a lie. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble when Eve listened to the lie of Satan. Amen? And now Satan has supposedly preachers, pastors, evangelists standing up in the pulpit repeating these lies. Tell you what, the church needs to repent. Amen? Where do we start? I think we start with us as individuals. Amen? We need to repent for our own sins. You know, again, Jesse and I have been having some good conversations in our class that we're doing together. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, the Christian walk, not careful, we do find ourselves drifting off. Amen? If anybody says, I don't ever drift off, you're probably a liar. Amen? You need to repent of that. Yes, we do. Amen? Sometimes we mess up. It's a struggle sometimes. Why? Because Satan's constantly out there trying to tempt us away. If you aren't battling temptation, something's wrong. If the devil's not tempting you, then it probably means that he don't feel that he needs to. And something's wrong. Amen? We need to repent for our own sins first, individually. Then I think we need to come together and we need to start repenting for the sins of the church. Sins of the church. Not just this little group here, but the sins of the church. All these things we've talked about that have so negatively portrayed the Word of God. Amen? We need to be confessing that sin and praying for that sin. We need to come together and we need to be repenting for the sins of our nation. It says that they repented for their own sins and the sins of their ancestors. You know, Daniel, when he prayed, he prayed for the sins of his people. Amen? They had, because of their sin, they had been taken into captivity. Yet Daniel prayed, God, forgive them. Bring forgiveness, repentance for those sins. We need to be praying for our nation, the sins of our nation. I tell you, we live in a sinful nation, getting more and more sinful each day. We talk about how many people have died from coronavirus. I don't know what the number is. I know it's over 350,000 in America. Unbelievable number. Doesn't come close to the number of unborn children that were murdered. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the church, way too often, is complacent. Not speaking up. Our nation is a nation of sinners. We need to be in prayer. So this morning, as we leave 2020 behind, we can choose to be complacent. We can choose to sit in the rubble. Or we can say, let's start rebuilding the wall. Let's rebuild the wall of prayer. Let's rebuild the wall of participation. Let's rebuild the wall of proclamation as we preach and teach the word. Let's rebuild the wall of praise. And let's rebuild the wall of purity. And let's see what then God can do going forward. Amen.